I am going to announce Nancy. She is many things, but to me, she's my wife. So I know she's a godly woman. I knew that before I married her. And it's just proved on and on. And we've had some exciting news that she's just finished writing two books. So they're available on Amazon, and I'll let her talk about them more if she wants to. But it's been an exciting time for us. So thank you all for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for this worship that's going on this morning. What a great time. And I'm going to sing about something that's been a topic of us for a while as we've been thinking about God and specifically the goodness of God. When we pray, the first prayer that many of us learn is that God is great. God is good, right? And not all great things are good, as we know. God is always good, and we've never had a doubt of that as we've learned about God's love. So this is a celebration of God's goodness.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are there like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it keeps running after me. Because all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. But all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Alan. Amen. I think our hearts can resonate with those words and the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. When you sing that in your 20, it's good. And then when you sing it in your 40, it's even better. And then when you're singing it when you're 60, it's like there starts to come some real notes in there about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And when we're home and Alan sings that, we have a lot of music in our home, I'll say to Alan, will you sing that again? And he will. And one night we were visiting somewhere, and I just wanted to hear that song. I said, oh, Alan, I wish you could sing that song, but we knew he couldn't sing it that loud, that late at night, where we were. So he just put on his little recorder, and there he was singing very softly about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And how beautiful to be able to celebrate his goodness together, his faithfulness. Hallelujah. My dad, he used to say, the next time the Lord lets me down will be the first. And you know, I had heard him say that many times when he was like in his 70s or 80s. Some of you heard him say it too. But one time I was listening to a tape from years ago. His voice was much younger. He wasn't a polished speaker. And I heard him say, I like to say, and he kind of chuckled. He said, I like to say, the next time the Lord lets me down will be the first, and I feel like I'm going to be able to say it all my life. And as I looked at the tape and I listened to his voice, I thought he must have been in his 40s then. He must have been younger than me. And he did say it all his life. I heard him saying it in his 70s and in his 80s. The goodness of God, the next time he lets me down, will be the first. Hallelujah. The faithfulness and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just very, very happy to be here. Thank you, Pastor Jay, for inviting us. It feels like family around here. And I see the faithfulness of God as I look around. I am the mother of a colonel in the Marines. So I'm so thankful for my son. I tease him sometimes. You know, it's not easy to be the mother of a colonel. But we've made it through the years, and I'm proud of him. And his family and his children. So some years have gone by in my life as well. And it was in 1981 that the Lord called me to be a support to my dad. I was living in Florida at the time. And I can remember putting our house up for sale. We thought we were going to the Bible school. We ended up being assigned to a number of other places before we finally got to the Bible school. But it wasn't long until I realized that I was not called to support just a person, but a vision. the preparation of a people for the end time purposes of the Lord. And that burns deep in my heart today. But it was even more recently that I began to realize, it was as we were putting these books together that my husband mentioned. Next time we'll have some with us, but they truly just got published this week. So they're on Amazon, but I don't have any copies yet myself. But if you just go on Amazon.com and put Nancy Taylor Tate in the search, the two books will come up. But it was really as we were putting these books together that I began to realize that the teachings that sow into the vision, that preparation of a people for the end time purposes of the Lord, are the same teachings that absolutely changed my life and transformed my life and have caused me to be where I am today. Along with that, they have blessed many other people. I've been blessed to see many people who have been blessed through the years. One young man in particularly who we were visiting just recently, he said that the Lord touched his life through the teachings when he was in eighth grade. And that when he heard the teachings, they impacted his life in eighth grade and put a hunger in him for more. And that today his life is different because of those teachings that he heard and the relationship that he's come into with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a beautiful family today with two young daughters. And he said that as he goes to work and is in different places, that people notice the difference in his life. And they ask him why he's different. And he tells them it's because his life is in God's hands. His faith and his trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he knows that the Lord loves him and has a plan for his life. And he trusts the Lord and his faithfulness. And then he tells them that they too can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and can put their trust in him. The faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God, a life lived in such a way that people say in this time of turmoil, in this time of fear, in this time of upheaval, why do you have peace? Why are you happy? Why are you smiling? Why do you have hope? Well, I've come to know Jesus. And that he loves me. And that my life is in his hands. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life too. And you too can have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of talk today about overcoming, to put it in my vocabulary. About living victoriously, about having a tenacity of strength, a tenacity of faith, so that we can stand, so that we can walk, so that we can run, so that we can be faithful to God's calling on our lives. It was 1 year while I was teaching the book of 2 Corinthians again that the triumphal procession that is found in 2 Corinthians became highlighted to me. Actually, and I don't always share this part, but when the Lord opened up these scriptures to me, and I'm going to read them in a minute, where it talks about the triumph of Christ and this triumphant procession that we're in as the fragrance of his presence is made known everywhere. But I wasn't sitting in a comfortable place as the Lord began to open that up to me. I was sitting in a waiting room. I had accompanied somebody for an outpatient procedure that turned into hours and hours and hours of surgery. I was sitting there for over 8 hours in a waiting room unexpectedly. And as I sat there and began to think of just the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the love of God, His plan, His purpose, the Lord opened up this verse to me in 2 Corinthians in a way that I had not seen it before. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. As I began to, I was teaching 2 Corinthians at the time, and as I began to think about that verse, you know, when the scripture is in your heart, you don't always need a Bible in front of you. The scriptures are to be embedded in our hearts and in our lives so that we can reflect on them wherever we are. I didn't know I was going to be sitting there 8 hours. I didn't have everything with me. But the Lord began to speak to me through the scriptures that were in my heart. And I began to see what, as I thought about this triumph that we have in Christ, I began to see this triumphant procession. And you who are in the military can appreciate this. But I saw this triumphant procession of people. It was a people all through the ages, every time in history, including today. It was just an endless number of people who were walking each one in step as a mighty army, in a triumphant, victorious army. And I marveled as I looked at the numbers, overcomers from every time of history. And as I sat there, I began to think, what a privilege. What a privilege to join such a rank. What an awesome call that we have to be a part of such a people. But then I saw not only a corporate procession all through the ages, from every time of history, of people walking in perfect step, but I began to see a personal procession of victories in my own life, bringing me to the place where I was at that time. And I saw victories from past circumstances. I saw victories that were in the making at the time I was sitting there. And then I saw victories that I didn't even know about yet, that were yet to become a part of my life experience. And I realized as I was sitting there that I was part of facing the circumstances of my own life, that I was in step, in harmony with a mighty army of those who had gone before me, who had lived victoriously in this life and who were now in a triumphant procession in eternity. You know, we don't always live victoriously because everything is easy. My dad used to say, the Lord is so anxious for overcomers, He gives us something to overcome. And he was kidding. But yet we know in this world that we do have tribulation. There's difficulties in this life. But we are well able, through the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells within us, that come what may, we can face it in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ as we come through triumphantly, knowing that not all things are good, but He works them together for good. There's something good we can find if we will but look for it through that working of God within for His higher purposes. The goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. That same verse in the New King James Version says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." I also have the same verse in the Passion Translation, which says, "God always makes His grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of His endless triumph." His endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, He spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. That's pretty powerful. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." That word "cause" is a strong word. It speaks of a strength beyond our own strength, which God always gives to us as we turn to Him, as He leads us into victory. Ezekiel 36:27 promises that this is the new covenant. "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." That enabling grace, that enabling power that we have in the new covenant through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we might be or become that witness He has called us to be. Where? Everywhere. To the uttermost parts of the earth. Come what may, I will put my spirit within you and cause you the enabling power, the enabling grace of the Lord. I love Revelations 3:21-22. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, if he used his deity, if Jesus used his deity to overcome, I can't overcome the way he overcame. This tells me I'm to overcome the way he overcame. If he used his deity because he was Jesus, the Son of God, if he used his deity, I can't overcome the way he overcame. Didn't use his deity. But as the Son of Man, neither did he use mere human strength or willpower. But if you look at the life of Christ, prior to the crucifixion, he went into the garden and he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. The scripture tells us he prayed 3 times using the same words. I tell you, that wasn't vain repetition. That was earnest, heartfelt prayer coming out from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he communed with his heavenly Father. And as he prayed and prayed, and some of us pray, but we forget to pray through. But as he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, what happened? An angel came and strengthened him. So it was through the divine enabling, that divine strength that is available to you and available to me too. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew. That word renew means exchange. They that wait upon the Lord will renew or exchange their strength. They will mount up. They will overcome. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The divine enabling, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is available to you and to me, come what may. Come what may. I turned, and I'm just starting to say this publicly. But you know, I had my birthday this year. And I've lived just long enough to know that God will never let you down. He will never forsake you. It won't always be easy. There will be hurts that come your way. There will be difficulties that you have to walk through. But it's not my strength. It's not my willpower. It's not my good intentions. But it's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that gives us strength, that brings us through victoriously. Because he lives. Because I've come to know him. Because I'm living in relationship with him. I'm walking in fellowship with him. I don't go through it alone. Something comes, there's the way I would like to respond to it. But I say, no, that's not his way. And I don't want to be any way that's not the same way he is. Because I want to be in that oneness, that closeness. That. So I'm going to give up my natural reaction. I'm going to overcome that hurt. I'm going to overcome that hurdle. So that I can be joined with him in my response. One with him, one with who he is. So that I can continue through this life, the hard times, the good times, always in fellowship with him. What strength we have. I think of this young man with this beautiful family today. His life impacted when he was in eighth grade. 2 Corinthians 3:2 speaks of our lives being a living epistle, known and read of all men. Our lives are the only Bible that some people will ever read. There's one thing that I love about Pastor Jay. He'll get up when he comes down to Parousia Ministries, and we love when he shares, and whether it's in fellowship or behind the pulpit, you're always going to get something rich when you're talking to Pastor Jay and Evelyn. But he'll just talk about what he did. Well, I did this, and then I did that. He's sharing these experiences, and all of a sudden you realize you've heard a whole sermon. You've heard the outworking of the gospel as it touched this life, as he was in this circumstance, in that situation. You've heard a whole sermon, and he's just sharing what he did when he was here and when he was there. And it reminds me of a story that DeVern Fromke shares. He talks about, it was a priest and a young intern who was anxious to preach. And finally he heard the words that he wanted to hear. We're going to preach today. And the young intern was all excited, thinking he was going to stand behind the pulpit and preach somewhere. And as they went through the town, the priest stopped and gave a few coins to a poor man. And then spoke a few words of sympathy to a widow. and then dried the tears of a child. And as they turned to go back to the monastery, the young intern, disappointed, said, "But when are we going to preach?" And the priest said, "You know, we have been preaching all this while. Because when the first thing that you do each day is give yourself to the Lord, spend that time in His presence, then whatever you do, even if it's just a smile or a handshake, it will be freighted with His presence and it will minister." Living epistles, victorious lives because of the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something visible. We may not be able to preach in some places, but we can live. Our lives speak more than our words, oftentimes. Basic, simple principles to being a people prepared for the end time purposes of the Lord. Basic principles which are keys to victorious living. Practicing His presence. Making the Lord our first priority. Making time to spend time with Him each morning. Quality time, one-on-one. Living our lives as a testimony. First unto Him, "Lord, I love You. It's because I love You I'm making this decision." But then the outworking of that is a testimony that blesses others as well. As we learn to live upright lives, regardless of the challenges that we face, as a godly example that others can see and find encouragement in, we are living in ever-increasing challenging times in our day. We must be rooted in who God is, His faithfulness, His steadfast love, His plan, His purpose, that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We always have His strength to draw on, if we will but choose it. He has made us to be more than conquerors. I could speak a whole message on just that verse, that being more than a conqueror, where I don't just come through it, but as I come through it, the Lord is bringing me through on a higher level and a higher level. And we're not just going through the same thing again. We're gaining a little ground each time we go through. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. There's something that God's doing inside of me. And meanwhile, there's a witness of His grace that is touching others. The Passion Translation says, "Even in the midst of all these things," I love that word, all. "Even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors." And I tell you, the trials we face at the moment are no exception. The faithfulness of God. The next time He lets you down, the next time He lets me down, Rock Road, our nation, our country, those who are putting their trust in Him, the next time He lets us down, it will be the first. With confidence, we can draw on His strength. We can call on His power. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, because he's called us to be a part of the victory of Christ. There's a people that, when you look at the life of Christ, a tremendous conflict between, as there was that transition from law and grace, from law into the church age, there was a tremendous conflict between darkness and light. But the Lord not only overcame himself, but he brought forth a body of believers, the foundation of the church. And as we are again at a transitional time, that time between the day of grace, the church age, and the day of kingdom, the Lord is not only triumphing, but he's bringing forth a kingdom people for the higher purposes of God. And a time of great conflict, and a time of great struggle, there's a people being birthed up into the upward purposes of God. And we are blessed to be a part of that people today. There's a harvest yet to come into the church. And within the church, there's an upward call. Rise up, my people. Rise up, rise up. Become joined with me in who I am and that which I'm doing. There's gross darkness on the face of the earth, but rise, shine, that my glory might be seen, because the Lord is coming for a people and to establish a kingdom. And as we move forward in the purposes of God, there may be a conflict, there may be darkness, but there's a light shining. And we're a part of the light. I can't fill myself with all the darkness and all the dark things going on. I have to fill myself with the light. I have to have my eyes on what God is doing so that I can come into alignment with him and who he is and be a participant with him. The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. The goodness of God. His plan and his purpose for our lives.